Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 246 of this great and growing podcast we call CJ Evolution. That's Criminal Justice Evolution. This is a podcast for the CJ professional like you, hosted by another professional, and that would be me, Patrick. I know you have many options out there. Thank you for tuning in. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. First-time listener, welcome. We hope you stick around. You're going to love the content and the guests. Thank you so much for your support. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women doing a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. We appreciate all of you. I am so excited to be partnered with Four Sigmatic, a coffee company that produces some amazing products. I'm a huge fan of their mushroom coffee called Lion's Mane. You will love it. Trust me, it doesn't taste like mushrooms. Great taste. Gives me that extra zip to get through the day. And you're going to get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. If you head over to the CJEvolution.com website, you're going to see a link to this great company. Click it and see what they can do for you. You know, folks, the website and the podcast continues to grow because of you, the listener and supporter. But support also means financial support. I am very, very excited to be partnered with Patreon. If you go to the website, again, cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link. In order for us to continue to grow and reach new heights, it is essential that we have the financial backing to do it. Patreon is a great company that believes in patronage. Any great thing out there starts with people that are willing and able to give to that cause, to see that company, that business, that idea grow. So I would appreciate any support that you can give the podcast to continue to grow and reach new heights. I sure would appreciate it. Head over to cjevolution.com. You're going to see the link. Thank you so much. You know, I remember as a very young officer, I didn't have the technology that we do today. And it really is amazing. When you really think about it, most crimes out there are committed and they have a technological component. It really is amazing. We've come so far in such a short period of time with our technological capabilities. My next guest is a cybersecurity expert. He has done some amazing things out there. He has an amazing company that's creating just unbelievable products, a new cell phone that he's going to tell you about. I hope you enjoy the next guest. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Larry Castro on the show. If you don't know who he is, he's a leading expert on cybersecurity, protecting portable devices and PCs from hacks and data theft. He's also the CEO of StealthGrid, which makes the highest encrypted cell phone on the market today. Are you there, Larry?
Yes. Thank you for that intro.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I know you're probably a very busy man. Did I leave anything out in that bio?
You know, first of all, I don't like to talk about myself, but I've been involved in a lot of stuff. I like to be involved in you know, forward-thinking technologies and seeing how we can prepare for the future. So one of the comments I always use is that the future is in my rearview mirror. So yeah. I'm always looking forward and bringing on new technologies. But, you know, one of the things that started early on, I think that really helped me in my drive is, you know, athletics. Mm-hmm. So I've been involved in a lot of athletics. I've been able to do some things in athletics, but it gives you that competitive spirit to want to win and never give up. So mm-hmm. I think those are some key ingredients to some of my successes.
Well, it's discipline. You know that, Larry, with sports in particular. I mean, it all is discipline, which is, you know, probably the reason why you're so successful, because you learn that at a very young age when you're in sports.
Yeah, and that's why I want my kids play it. You know, one of the things, it's not just the successes, it's the failures, and where you learn how to evaluate and overcome those failures and turn them into successes. And I think that's what sports does.
You know,
I don't mean the sports.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so interesting you said that, because I think, and we can, you know, I'm kind of digressing a little bit, but since you brought it up, I am a big believer in that you, I don't think, maybe you're the exception, but I don't think you're the rule, that a lot of parents out there are teaching their kids that it's okay to fail.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, it's called the participation trophies?
Yeah, everybody gets one.
I can tell you that, you know, I'll give you a quick story. We get into cybersecurity. I have a son. His name is Larry, too. Wanted to play basketball really bad on the high school team and tried out his sophomore year got to the very end, and I know how much he wanted it, and he didn't make the cut. Yeah. So I get in the car, and I don't know what to say to him, and I say, you know, how do you feel? He says, you know what, Dad? He says, I'm okay. He says, I'm going to work harder. I'm going to make the team next year. He did exactly that and made the team the following year.
That is awesome.
That's what it's about.
Well, obviously you taught your kid right, because I think a lot of kids, well, maybe I'm, you know, being presumptuous, but I think some kids out there would be like, you know, screw it. I'm just going to give up.
Yeah, I'll go somewhere else.
You
need to have somebody that's supporting, mentors. I've had mentors. I've had people that, you know, stood behind you. So you need that kind of that ability to foster that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's another element that we haven't talked about, and I'm sure we won't even go there. But I had a daughter pass away 2.5 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure to hear that.
Why, she was at Grand Canyon University, an academic, athletic scholar, wonderful young lady, brought a lot of joy to a lot of people, was a true light. But from that part, we decided to move her forward, and we've now created a foundation 2.5 years ago, given out 24 scholarships, but really to inspire youth to make new young leaders in our communities. And mm-hmm. that's where we're driven. And some of the things we were talking about is, you know, the core essence of what we want to teach and be supportive for.
Well, I'm sorry about the loss that for you and yours. I mean, devastating. But now, how did you get into cybersecurity, Larry? Because it's such an important topic. We talked a little bit off the air about it, and we're going to talk more about it. But what drove you? How did you get into this field?
Well, I'm a little older, and you know, a seed was planted in me way back when in high school when I read George Orwell 1984.
I think we all read that. It was forced reading.
And there was a couple of others. Yeah, and you know, one of the things that it really kind of impacted me, what I've noticed over time and being a little older, is that fiction often becomes reality. And I mean, in those senses, right? Technology, you know, you talk about Lost in Space and ships, and all of a sudden we're on moons and, you know, we're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always used to think that, you know, maybe someday they'll be able to watch us through the TV. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I'm saying, you know, the technology might be there. And eventually I started working for a company where we're doing logo and obstacle detection and facial recognition and putting cameras around the world, working with Cisco. And again, I know the value because I know what I was selling, that if a terrorist was there, you'd be able to hone in. If you had it indexed, you'd be able to, you know, obviously, you know, say, here's this individual, go check him right now in real time. Got that. But at the same time, how do you balance that with privacy, right? Mm-hmm. How do you stop it from being just protection to be an invasion, right? And so that's really kind of, you know, really what I was thinking about in the process, and that's why I started my company.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's good and bad, but we've got to have something that kind of regulates it and it protects the individual, because I think that's important.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you stand on this, but my thing that really impacted me recently was the Kavanaugh thing.
Yeah.
And you know, we live in a country, and you told me about what you do for a profession, where you're innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. And when we start changing that, it really, you know, that's part of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It becomes really kind of scary, right? And so, you know, I just want to make sure that we're protecting everybody's privacy. And there's some things that can happen if people get your information that will basically ruin your life.
Yeah.
And people don't realize it. Well, I'm not a big company. It doesn't matter. If I'm a guy that's a hacker that's trying to get information and convert it into dollars, who do you think I'm going to go after? Am I going to go after the big guy, or am I going to go after the little guy? Which one's easier?
Yeah, little guy.
Who has more money? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So the little guy, all of a sudden, he can't get a job, can't get a house because they got his information. They went online, got credit cards, and all that other stuff. Now you're in trouble. What do we do to protect them? So, you know, that's kind of, you know, a roundabout way of telling you where I started and why I'm doing what I'm doing today.
Did you ever think, I mean, I think about this sometimes, Larry, and I don't know if you do, that we would have the technology we have? I mean, I never imagined, I mean, I'm almost 50, I'm 50 in a couple months, I mean, and I never imagined we would have as much technology in our hands that astronauts in the 60s had. Did you ever envision that? Because now it's amazing. I was thinking what you were talking about, all important. But I never thought we would be at a point where we could just FaceTime somebody.
I know. And you know, I personally envision it, but you know, when you say that, and by the way, I'm 60, so I'm a little older than you. So, yeah, one of the things that I look at is that when you look at what they have now and you think, oh my God, how the crazy technology those people had, think about it. Take that times 10X, 20X. You don't even know what they have right now.
Yeah.
That's what's blowing my mind. And it's moving at a speed now that's just like overnight, right? Mm-hmm. Before, it used to take you 10, 20 years to develop something or a business. Nowadays, the cycle is 1-2 years and you're going, right?
Yeah.
And it's the kids are smarter, maybe, and I would say smarter. I always say the kids are young and dumb, but they're also pretty smart.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I agree.
They make foolish decisions sometimes, but these kids now have the things that I see from some of the kids that work for me is amazing. I let them run, right? I let them run. I know I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'm just smart enough to recognize talent.
Yeah. Now, how vulnerable? I mean, I know you deal with this all the time. I mean, how vulnerable are our cell phones?
Oh, extremely.
So why aren't people talking about this more?
Well, because it's like anything else. They're just used to it. You get caught up, you get complacent, you get used to it, you dial it, you don't care until something actually happens to you, right? Or happens to somebody that you're personally involved with. Then it becomes a little more important. But I think you're starting to see a lot with Facebook and Google and all these others coming out and realizing how they're really manipulating and controlling, you know, what we're doing, what we're seeing, monitoring data, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's some that are sensitive, but there's still some that they just don't know. They're not educated. And I don't mean in an ignorant way. They're just not educated in what's out there and what kind of attacks can happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's part of messaging, right?
Yeah.
Letting them know. So they just don't know. They're not aware. It's unfortunate. I mean, it's a big business. If I wanted to be a criminal, right, and I decided today I want to be a criminal, I would be a hacker. I mean, it's a $500 billion a year. I don't have to use a gun. I just use a USB stick.
Yeah.
I don't have to. I just have to use a keyboard. That's all.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, we were talking a little bit off the air because you're the expert in this. I'm not. I mean, we were talking a little bit off the air about how I don't think in law enforcement, and I can't speak for everybody out there, but I can speak for my experience and the agency I'm in. I don't think that there's a crime out there, hacking, whatever. Obviously, it involves a technological component, but I don't think there's other crimes. A lot of crimes, most of them, in my experience, have some sort of technology component to them. They're using technology, whether it's, you know, email or whatever, or they're hacking into somebody's computer or using cell phones or whatever. I mean, it's amazing, the use of technology.
It's a tech footprint out there.
Yeah.
Something, somewhere, you have something with that individual,
yeah,
right? And as we said, that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But how do you balance that? And that's the challenge, right?
Civil liberties like you're talking about and things like that.
We want to provide law enforcement the tools to be able to capture the bad guys. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But where does that cross over?
Yeah.
That's really, I think, the discussion and the conversation that everybody in my space as well as everybody in your space has. Because we don't want you guys to lose the tools, but at the same time, we do need to protect our civil liberties.
Exactly. Talk about a little bit about, Larry, if you would, about Stealth Grid, and you make the highest encrypted cell phone on the market today. And what does that entail? What does it look like?
Well, what we did was we took it down to the nuts and bolts. We created our own operating system because what we found is that through Android, that there was a lot of vulnerabilities. We wanted to be control that environment, what could be coming in and going out, and then utilize our specific encryption protocols, which is a dynamic split encryption and dynamic geodistribution, along with some very unique algorithms that really does protect the individual from the phone from having people hack into it. So that's what we did. And so we've also got software that we're looking at being able to deploy, because what we want to do is have this, you know, obviously this adoption globally, because above that, what we're trying to do, I think words are powerful. What we're doing is we're creating what we call a quantum mesh network or a mesh network. We want to be able to eliminate cell towers and have communication via peer-to-peer.
Mm-hmm.
When people hear that, they think you just got to have, it's, you know, just enough. You won't have a phone number. No, you have the same phone number you can call anywhere in the world, but it's a lot more robust. It provides It provides the internet access. It provides the ability to communicate on a mesh network. And that's the transformation. That transformation is the same that transpired in video. When you look at the big boys like CBS and all the other guys, they thought they owned everything, right? They owned all the content. Well, as they found out, they were resistant to the change, and now you have the Unplugged Society, which is Hulu, YouTube, and everything else,
yeah,
growing like crazy. Thing, yeah. You name it. The yeah. same thing's happening in communications.
Yeah,
so, and then with now blockchain technology and how it could actually interface with communications and a new economy, that's what we're seeing right now.
Now, I know you talk a lot, and you're an expert on the detrimental effects on that cell phones that I don't even think. I mean, I rarely think about this, but when we're talking about EMF technology that's incorporated in your products, and
yeah.
I mean, how detrimental is this for the human body?
I will give you, and this will blow you away. So I'm working with a company right now. It's called Altera. We signed an agreement that every phone will have EMF protection from RF frequencies, your cell phone and everything else. And so prior to me doing that deal, unbeknownst to me, we just moved into new offices, bigger offices and everything else. I had to get insurance for the building, right? So I go to my insurance person. I say, "Did you get me insurance? Got to have this, this, and this." She comes back and says, "They denied you." I went, "What? Why?" "Because you deal in cell phones and mobile phones because of EMF." Can you believe that?
Holy, what? Wow.
So we had to do some, we had to get a play a little more, but that's where, if insurance companies are recognizing it.
Yeah.
Verizon has a couple lawsuits against them. You tell me how serious that problem is.
Well, how has it been tested? How has it been tested that these waves have a adverse effect on DNA and the human body?
There's a couple people that actually do this using blood cells, mm-hmm. and through testing of the phone. They have all this really special machinery, find out what it does to the blood cells and everything else. And they actually have quantitative information that shows that there is things going on that will impact your health.
Yeah.
And so, you ever heard the story? Like, I don't want to have a house underneath all these electric wires.
Yeah.
The big cell, it's true.
Wow.
And so I know for a fact that it was weird before I looked into it. I used to notice that my ears were always like burning and it was, that I'd have like, they were clogged and stuff. Since I've put EMF protection on my phone, I haven't had any issues.
Wow.
Whatsoever.
It was about a couple months ago. I don't know if you probably find this interesting. A couple months ago, I was on Amazon, and I know what EMF is and been studying a little bit. Not, I don't have your expertise, but I bought this bracelet that I have on right now, and it's called a Mimon bracelet, and it's supposed to block EMF waves in like cell phones and things like that. So I wear it almost every day, and I never really noticed that I've had like some adverse effects like you were indicating, but I don't know if it's helping or not, but I wear it every day.
How often do you have your phone to your ear? Probably a lot or not a lot?
I don't. That's an interesting question. I mean, you would think in my profession that I'm on the phone a lot, and I'm not. I do a lot of texting, I mean, I do talk on the phone, but it's not tremendous amounts every day.
There was a guy, the guy that came in, his name is Kim. I'm so bad I can't remember his last name. He was the inventor. He has 25 patents on it. And he told me that there was this situation where there was this guy that was not able to have children because his sperm cells the count was down. And basically he said, don't put this on your laptop and your phone. And because he was using his laptop on his lap all the time and everything else, he put it on his laptop. And after about a month or so, his sperm count went up and he was able to he ended up having a child.
Oh my God.
Stories like that. And, again, when you say I'm an expert in EMF, I'm not an expert. I just, I obviously recognized it, identified it, and brought some real smart people in to be able to help me understand it. So,
well, why aren't the phone manufacturers, Samsung, iPhone, or Apple, and other manufacturers out there, why aren't they addressing this problem? I mean, everybody has a phone out there, Larry. You know that.
Yeah, but think about this. If they address it and identify it, what happens? Especially if you're in California, it's a litigious state. What happens then?
Well, but that's how things get better.
I understand that, but I'm saying you're looking from a corporate perspective, right? Oh, my God, if we acknowledge this, what could happen?
But the flip side of that coin is what happens when they really start, and it sounds like they have to some degree, proving a link between health, health problems and cell phones, and then you're looking at litigation regardless, because then cell phone's going to be on the hook for that.
I agree. I'm just saying, why haven't they said anything? You know, what happens is that I always say this, and we talked about it. I'm obviously a golf pro and done a bunch of stuff in golf fitness, but this is the one thing that I've always told guys that play, right? You need to free it up and let it go. Is what you're doing is you're creating paralysis with analysis, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing, you know. Yeah. And that's simply what happens, right?
And plus, they just throw money at it. They got these, you know, high-paid attorneys that can be tied up in court forever.
Oh yeah, God yeah. I mean, that's somebody asked me why I haven't brought my technology to the big boys. Well, first of all, they have a bigger war chest than me.
Yeah.
So let's say I show it to them. They love everything I'm doing. The next thing you know, I find out that they've just recreated what I've done, and now I got to try to go after the elephant.
Yeah, you got to they're stealing your stuff. So
right. So you know, and they'll make you work for several years, you know, in litigation. And next thing you know, you run out of money and you just got stuff.
Yeah, they outspend you.
Exactly. So what a game, right? What a game.
So. Yeah, I know it was an important feature when you designed the stealth phone, but what features on the phone emit EMF waves?
It's actually this gentleman has created it's actually a patch that goes inside the phone based on a certain stone, the way he crushes it and the way he puts it together. I've read it a couple times. And it goes inside the phone, and it's similar to what you have there, but it has been proven and tested that it actually will stop it from emitting. You can put it, I've got it on my computer, I put it on my Wi-Fi unit. So it's not something, it's not for me, I had to be careful with that hocus pocus, right? So I had to take a look at all the studies, all the testing, all the lab results, and this is the one company that I saw that really did provide something that really worked. So... you know, again, I know a company like what you're talking about, the thing you put on your either a metal, a medallion, or on your wrist. So it's, you know, I've looked at that, but I haven't seen the testing that this guy did on his stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what I was looking for.
Interesting. And
can you support it?
Yeah.
With a real like lab testing, and he was able to.
Yeah. What other features? I mean, I know it can block your product can block EMF waves. What other features does this phone have, and why is it revolutionizing security and functionality with cell phones?
The encryption side of it from peer-to-peer, right? Mm-hmm. So peer-to-peer communications, we're not using the cell towers. We're using Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and we're working with, we're going to have a node that's going to be in some satellites that will be able to, if you don't have a straight line, you can actually bounce off the node and the satellite. So that's one of the major transformations. But also we have on it, we have email that's with our encryption. We have instant messaging. We have cold storage for the crypto market so people can store their stuff on it. We have our exchange that's on the phone. So it's a tool that's very, very powerful that you can store all your stuff and make sure that nobody's stealing. For example, with our cloud, our company was a split encryption application that you, for example, let's say you had Google Drive and Dropbox. Mm-hmm. Well, what this does is when you drop it into the application, it splits it in half, encrypts it, sends one half to Google Drive and the other half to Dropbox, compresses it, does it in less than a second. And so let's say somebody wanted to hack into Google Drive. Well, they'd only get one piece that's encrypted with our encryption, and they'd have to know where the other piece is, and they'd have to have your key, which is on your device specific to you.
Wow.
So that's a pretty powerful tool. It's a great tool. I mean, I got 1,000 different pieces on it. So that's why we transitioned to blockchain, because that's kind of like how blockchain actually works.
Well, cryptocurrency is a lot of that's blockchain, right?
It's all blockchain.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this phone, again, can protect us from the spying eyes of social media, correct?
Correct. And I tell everybody that if you want to have a phone and you want Angry Birds, get a separate phone with Angry Birds on it. You're not having it. So we actually control the apps.
Nobody plays Angry Birds anymore, Larry.
That's the only game I can remember. I think they play Fortnite and all this other stuff. And I was with the guy that started, what was the one big popular game, the fighting game? It's one big game that was the first game that came out that was like a, you know, you're in the army type thing. Anyways, I met the guy that created it yesterday, so it was interesting. God.
Well, I know my wife plays Candy Crush. She's a big fan of that.
Does she really? I think my wife does too. I say, what are you doing, honey? Aren't I interesting?
Yeah, so, I'm on level. She's like some international expert on Candy Crush now.
There you go. That's crazy.
Now, when will this phone be available for everybody?
We've actually got the phones will be shipped here this next week, and so we're going to go through and test them and make sure they're ready to be dropped. But one of the things that I actually got an order for 2 million phones and told the guy, he says, I can't take it right now. And he said, why? I said, because I'll put it in a pre-order, but I need to make sure you have the support behind it, meaning the warranty and the servicing. So that's kind of really the back end stuff that's really important. But as far as we've been testing the phones, we have a bunch of guys testing it now, and it works really good. And I showed it yesterday at a trade show. So, you know, I'm the kind of guy that wants to make sure, and I think people that have heard me is measure twice, cut once.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure it's done right because you don't get a second chance at it.
Well, and I think you're doing a great thing out there, Larry. Your emphasis is on, you know, personal security and, you know, I mean, you know, keeping people safe out there as well as, you know, protecting us from, you know, these dangerous waves that are emitting from cell phones that, quite frankly, you know, isn't talked about enough.
No, it's not. And I'm glad that you brought it up because I think more people need to be aware of it, right? Yeah. So I think I was actually very impressed that you even knew that. So yeah. I gave you a star.
Well, I appreciate it, Larry. So if people want to find you, man, if people want to find you and reach out, I mean, I know you got a couple of websites out there. How do they find you?
Just go to stealthgrid.com and it'll take them to the others. And we have a new site going up called the Qubit Blockchain, but it'll direct them to it. So we got a lot of great things and a lot of good partners. And, you know, we're excited about what we're doing in this space and continue to grow. I got a new 24-year-old kid I'm bringing on tomorrow that's just a genius in AI and machine learning. And so we're going to incorporate some of that stuff in our technology. Yeah. So,
and that's another thing, Wick. I would love to have you back on to talk about more stuff. You mentioned AI, artificial intelligence. That's the next big thing out there, right?
It is the big thing. And I've, as I said, I've already been working on it over the past for a while. So, but this kid is a genius. Actually, my lawyer brought him to me. He says, you got to see this kid. He's really smart. So I wrapped him up in a little bundle and I said, you're mine now. So.
Well, Larry Castro, thank you for coming on the show, sir. I sure do appreciate it. Love to have you back on again.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.